Loyal listeners may know Bert Lum as longtime host of Bite Marks Cafe, an HBR program on all things techie. But his day job is a strategy officer for the Hawaii Broadband Initiative for the State Department of Business, Economic Development, and Tourism. It just released a broadband report, a kind of roadmap for Hawaii to tackle the digital divide. Bert Lum explains it this way.
One of the things that doesn't get really appreciated is the fact that when people look at it from a really high level, I mean, Hawaii is pretty well connected. I mean, we have carriers like Hawaiian Telcom and we have Charter, and they provide, for the most part, the lion's share of internet access for people in Hawaii. But what COVID has really brought to light is the fact that there are many in our community that don't have the benefit of that kind of connection. And these could be people in rural communities, or it could be Native Hawaii communities, it could be people that are disenfranchised, it could be people that are low income and can't afford it. So the population was really forced to stay at home, whether it be for work or education. Then you pretty much had to rely 100% on getting connected to anything through the fact that you had to do it through the internet. So what happens is that because of COVID and bringing the attention to this sort of digital divide, you really start to see the kink, in the armor. And what I think people now realize is that you cannot just simply rely on the commercial sector to deliver internet access, because they will look at the communities that have the best return on the investment. So it's not a matter of antiquated systems. It's more an issue of disparity and equity.
So how do you explain to people what broadband is if they don't understand it?
Simply speaking, broadband is all of our ability to connect to the internet for access to services, whether it be for distance learning or telehealth or remote work or even civic engagement or even maintaining your social connections. It's really connecting to the broader internet with a service that is capable of a performance level that is adequate in terms of delivering the kind of applications that you expect to receive. It's not just the question of infrastructure. And so what we've tried to do in the plan, as well as the narrative around broadband, is really kind of three pillars. We talk about access, which is kind of the infrastructure. We also talk about literacy and how you can actually use the kind of tools that would best position you to, kind of thrive on the digital economy. And the third one is this idea of livelihood. Being that everything that we do, whether it's, distance learning, doing the Zoom calls, doing a telehealth consultation, or even doing remote work, that livelihood piece, that's the three pillars that really ensure that, we Hawaii can be not only competitive, but thrive, in the digital economy. So it's more than just, connect me up to the internet. It's all about, can I use the tools? Can I use my computer? Can I access the applications? And how do I bring everybody up to that level so that we all can benefit?
I guess I'm thinking of kind of what we saw with what happened. Part of this plan talks about getting the cable landing infrastructure, right, for fiber optic cables.
The thing with connectivity is that there are many, many pieces to the puzzle. So it's not just like one thing and then you'll solve the entire broadband problem, right? You got everything from how does the trans-Pacific fiber cables actually land in Hawaii? And once they land in Hawaii, how do you distribute the broadband access from that trans-Pacific fiber to the rest of the neighbor islands? And that's something that we sometimes refer to as the inter-island fiber. And then once you get to the island itself, then you have to connect between the where the fiber comes up from, you know, under the water and onto the land, and how do you get what we call terrestrial fiber distributed through communities. Then you are looking at how do you get the companies like, you know, the Hawaiian Telecoms or the Charters to get the actual physical infrastructure to your home. And at your home, it could be fiber, it could be twisted pair, it could be coax. It could even be wireless solutions like 4G cell service. So there's a number of ways to actually get to your home or your business or your device. So it's not just one infrastructure thing. There's a lot of pieces of that infrastructure puzzle involved in connectivity.
So we're in a situation now where we've got a budget crisis because of this pandemic. So where do we get the money to build our systems?
That's the million-dollar question. So as I mentioned, there's a lot of different players that are involved. So the Trans-Pacific Fiber folks, they usually raise money from private investors. Then you have the commercial sector folks who also raise private sector money for their infrastructure builds. Then you have some of the things that, you know, in terms of the plan and what we were looking at is there were some things that the government could do to help lower the barrier for connectivity to Hawaii. And some of that would be spent in the form of these cable landing infrastructure in order to access the island, to come from under the water onto the land. And that cable landing infrastructure, you can think of it like an airport or even a highway, right? I mean, in order for cars to get from point A to point B, they need to go on a road. Or for an airline to land in Hawaii, they need to have an airport. Well, same thing with Trans-Pacific Fiber or even Inter-Island Fiber. You need someplace you can land. And that's where the government could invest in some money to build that infrastructure to help lower the barrier. And the barrier includes things like, you know, acquisition of land. It could be permitting. It could be some of the engineering work to get onto the land. It's the surveys that need to be done. A lot of that could be done so that once the project is ready to come to Hawaii, that infrastructure is already there. So it's much like, you know, the analogy is the airlines. So, you know, if all you had in Hawaii was like a Dillingham airfield, you know, some of the big carriers wouldn't necessarily land there. But if you were to invest in an airport, in like an you know, international airport where you have multiple terminals and you can accommodate hangars for these large planes, then the airlines would land there. And then you basically work it out so that the airlines are part of the business model to take advantage of your airport.
Right, but build it and they will come.
Don't build it and they won't come.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Did the report identify areas throughout the state that are severely lacking that we really need to put resources, you know, into this and into upgrade?
There's communities that are in rural areas that don't typically have the kind of fiber optic infrastructure. And there's ways of actually funding that. So there's been several federal programs that enable companies like Hawaiian Telecom to actually help to fund some of the fiber deployment. So there's a program called the Connect America Fund. And then there's also something called the Rural Digital Opportunity Fund. And these are areas organizations like the FCC recognize as being underserved. And so companies like the Hawaiian Telecom or Charter could apply, and if they were able to get monies from those programs, could deploy fiber. So as a result of, you know, the work that they do, as well as especially now during the pandemic where, again, everybody needs to have connectivity, these programs become much more important, and it offers a way of solving that problem of connectivity. So there's a lot more attention in how we, Hawaii, can get access to these kinds of programs, because realizing that the state isn't going to go ahead and fund all those programs. So federal government is actually making some of these infrastructure programs available so that the telecom companies can actually go out and deploy fiber.
Right. So there are initiatives that we can tap, take advantage of.
You know, we all recognize that there's going to be limited funds from the state because of our revenue shortfalls and economic condition that we're in. So we have to be very creative and look at ways of leveraging federal resources, as well as looking at potential philanthropic funds for some of the build-outs in rural and Native Hawaiian communities.
That was Bert Lahm, the state strategy officer for the Hawaii Broadband Initiative. We were talking about a just-released report about how we need to narrow the digital divide, particularly in light of lessons learned from our health and economic crisis.